Today is the solemnity of the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is the great symbol of our Lord's love for man, and of his great desire that we love him in return. The whole reason we exist at all is because God loves us. And the only reason we have any chance to save our souls at all is because of our redemption, which was the work of God's love for us, to save us from our sins. And the only thing that we can give to God in return for all of these immense favors is our love. And that this is the only thing that God expects from us and the only thing that he really wants from us. So it should be no wonder that the greatest of all the commandments is that we love God with our whole heart and soul. This is something that God has been trying to get through our heads since the beginning of time, his immense love for us. But man has been so slow to receive this message and to do what God wants. So our Lord finally told Saint Margaret Mary that his appeal for our love and the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus would be his last attempt to win the love of mankind. So if we don't practice this devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, then we are in real trouble because we are refusing to do the one thing that God wants from us, and we already know that this is the last call. He is not going to tell us again. So today we have to think about the great love that our Lord has for us and examine our consciences on how much we love him in return. But really, it shouldn't take so much effort on God's part to make us love him, because our Lord is the most powerful friend that we could ever have. We all want powerful friends because they can help us in our needs. Now, we know by faith that our Lord, as God, has all power in heaven and on earth. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And therefore, his love for us is of infinite power as well. We know in general that love in itself is something very strong. Scripture even says that love is as strong as death. And St. Paul tells us that charity beareth all things, and it never fails. He even tells the Corinthians that because of his love for them, that he was anxious to sacrifice himself for their salvation, even though they were completely ungrateful to him. When we see the saints consumed by the fire of the love of God, and we see the great sacrifices they made for him and to serve him, to the point of performing the severe penances, or even suffering death itself out of love of God, it seems incomprehensible to us what they did. St. Augustine says that the only people that can understand this tremendous love of God are also people that are consumed with the love of God as well. When we read the words of the saints, who say things like how they want to suffer constantly out of love of God, or they want to be constantly humiliated and poor and seeking God by bringing other souls to him, it seems like nonsense to us if we don't have a similar love of God in our hearts. But St. Augustine says that the soul that seeks God is on fire for the love of God, and it tramples on all the pleasures of this world, and it ignores and overcomes any difficulty in the face of its love of God. As our Lord said, he that will save his life shall lose it, and he that shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Someone who gives up everything in this world for God will find eternal life. St. John Chrysostom said something similar. He said, to be imprisoned for the love of God is more glorious than being a great apostle or a great teacher of the faith. He said, someone who loves God would rather suffer for God than have any possible honor. And he says that the suffering itself is almost its own reward. And St. John Chrysostom himself put this into practice. He suffered imprisonment for Christ, and he died as a result of the hardships that he was subjected to in prison. But what St. Paul or St. Augustine or St. John Chrysostom said about their tremendous love of God was not just idle talk. They really meant what they said. In fact, it was only a feeble expression of the tremendous love that burned inside of them for the love of Christ. They only loved our Lord in this world and nothing else. They didn't want anything here except to serve our Lord and to suffer and die for Him. And all the other saints, especially the martyrs, had the same mentality. There was nothing that could overcome their love of God. Now, if only mere human beings can be so consumed with love of God to such an extent, then how much more so is our Lord filled with a love of us beyond what we can even imagine? We have no way to begin to measure or comprehend how much He loves us. Our Lord as God has an infinite capacity for love, and He is our Savior. He is our mediator between us and God. He must have a tremendous love of us because of what He has done to redeem us. When the human race rebelled against God, it opened up a tremendous gulf between us and God. And this enormous distance between us and God became only wider and wider as time went on, and all human beings contributed their own sins to the original fall of man. Mankind became like a stream of dirty water, according to St. Augustine, that got more and more disgusting as it flowed farther and farther from God. But God's mercy overcame His justice. God still wanted mankind to love Him, so He gave man a Redeemer that would atone for the infidelity of the human race and make us again the friends of God. God could have just pardoned us gratuitously, but that would have been only a free gift, and we would have done nothing to correct our own broken relationship with God. That's why God appointed a mediator. Now, a mediator has to occupy a position between the two sides he is trying to reconcile. This is why our Lord was both God and man, so He could reconcile those two sides. Of course, our Lord loves His Heavenly Father with an infinite love, and God the Father can't refuse a single request to our Lord. And this tells us that our Lord therefore can give us anything that He wants. When we are on earth, in this life, our Lord is not our judge, but only our Redeemer. And His heart is constantly filled with love of us. He wants nothing more than to bestow His gifts on all of mankind. His love for us makes Him constantly shower His graces upon us. In fact, He told St. Margaret Mary, "Behold this heart which has loved men so much that it spared no pains, but exhausted and consumed itself to prove to them its love." So this raises the question, what do we have to do to receive this love from our Lord? Well, we have to be prepared to receive His gifts. He doesn't force His grace upon us against our will. Our Lord says many times in the Gospel that our relationship with Him is up to us to decide to a large extent. He says very often to people in the Gospels, He says, "If thou wilt be my disciple," or to someone else He said, "If thou wilt enter into the kingdom of heaven." And another time He said to someone, "If thou wilt be perfect." So He always says the choice is ours. It's up to us if we want to love Him and receive His graces or not. But woe to us if we don't. Our Lord said to the city of Jerusalem that He wanted to protect it the way a chicken protects her chicks. But He said the people of the city of Jerusalem did not want this. This is one of the saddest passages in all of the Gospels. And let us think if our Lord is maybe saying that now about us. But you see what happened to Jerusalem because it refused our Lord's love is that it was destroyed 40 years after our Lord's death. If we are indifferent to God's love and His graces, then we can't receive them. We have to want His love and want to practice virtue and self-denial. Our Lady said in the Magnificat that God has filled the hungry with good things. So we have to be hungry for God and His justice. And our Lord said, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. And He said also, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be filled. But He pronounced a curse on people who are filled instead with material things and the pleasures of this world. He said, woe to you who are filled, for you shall hunger. And in the parable of the heavenly banquet, the people who were invited to the banquet but who refused to come, they were left outside. So in the same way, if anyone says that the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is just not for him, or he is not interested in it, that person is refusing tremendous graces from our Lord. But our Lord wants to use devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus to exercise His omnipotent love for us and to be a means to give us tremendous graces. But He warns us that we can't serve two masters. He says you can't serve both God and mammon, meaning the things of this world. And St. James says that the friendship of this world is the enmity of God. So we have to be detached from this world and make God the main object of our love and desire here in order to receive His graces. Someone might say, well, if we have to completely reject any love for anything in this world in order to practice devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, then only great saints can ever have this devotion. The answer is that no, our Lord said explicitly that this devotion would convert sinners and it would lead imperfect souls to perfection. So therefore, it must be for everybody. But what our Lord does want and require is a serious and honest desire to advance in virtue on our part. And what He condemns is that we deliberately remain in sin and refuse to try to advance in virtue. And this devotion will not instantly turn us into saints. But we have a guarantee from our Lord that if we persevere in the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that we will continually make progress in virtue, and the love of God will bring us to a higher and higher degree of perfection and happiness, even in this world. And very often we can't measure our own level of holiness accurately, and we are not intended to be able to do so. In this life, our purpose here is to try to advance constantly in the love of God and in virtue. And only after our death will we see how much progress we really made. But we have to trust in God and persevere. So let us always practice this great devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and ask our Lord to increase our love for Him and our hatred of sin and the world a little bit more every single day and meditate on His tremendous love for us every time we look at the beautiful image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.